Good evening once more. This is the last of our times together. All good things must come to an end, is a popular saying. Every time I think that, though, I think, no, heaven doesn't come to an end. But in this life, it's true. Every good thing must come to an end. And this has been a good thing this weekend. I've just had a wonderful time here with you. What a fabulous singing group you are. I know the acoustics of the building help. It rings out in here, and we have a similar building. Mike and Carol have visited the building in Appleton where I am. They know it's a similar thing there. Whether it's 20 or 100 that are packed in the building, the singing always sounds fabulous. The building helps, but it cannot do it all. It has to come from the voices of you. And what a wonderful singing group you are. I commend you for that. I think it was one of the Wesley brothers that said that if a church is needing to be revived, sing them back into revival, or sing them back into fervor for the Lord. And I do think singing is a good tool that God has approved for that very thing. I could spend a long time just talking about how nice a weekend it's been, and I'll try, though, to keep it short. I appreciate so much the hospitality for my son Jared and I while we've been here. The food that's been served and provided, it's been fabulous. The words of commendation, you've been very complimentary and appreciate very much. Maybe a little over the top, but still I'll take it. Thank you for your fine and kind words for the lessons that have been presented. I appreciate it very much. You have a nice group here. I commend you to the will of God and the future, hopefully, that will be good here. Keep up the good work. In fact, my last lesson I've chosen will try to encourage you along those lines of getting your faith out of the church building. That's what I'm going to be calling it in just a few moments. And that, I think, will contribute greatly to the future of the work here being good. On behalf of Jared, I want to thank the Hamilton Sons for entertaining Jared so much this weekend. Thank you, guys. He has not been as bored as he might have been being here. Mike and Carol can only do so much entertaining a 16-year-old, you know. So to have you young men take him under your wing or with you in your activities, I appreciate it. Thanks very much. I've got to know Jeff a little bit now. We've known each other through email. But now he and his fine wife, Gay, I get to put a face and a voice with. And you have a good man working with you, a good family. And I already know you know that, but I'll take this pulpit opportunity to say so and to commend him for the good work that he's doing here with you. Speaking of email, Sarah was wanting email for her sister Susan and my wife Irma when they were young girls, teenage maybe, or even before, were friends, and she wanted to try to put my wife and her sister back in touch with each other, and we're going to get email exchange information. I thought about it this morning. There might be others that would like to stay in touch. I'm huge on emails. It's not just Jeff and I. There may be others, one or two at least, that like to stay in contact. And what I've done is I've just put one of my calling cards up on the bulletin board in the back. Feel free to give me your email address if you want me to start things, but otherwise you can find mine there and stay in touch. I'd love to. Some people don't check their mail much, but I am one that does. And so feel free to stay in touch that way. I'd love it. I have an email or e-list that I call exhortations and stuff. And you can just guess what you will about what the stuff's all about, but the exhortations you can probably figure. And it goes out two or three times a week. If you'd like to be on that list, I'd be glad to add you to it. Just give me your email address before I go, or you can just find mine back there and mail me at a future time. But stay in touch if you will. If you ever have cause to be out Wisconsin way, now why would that be? There might be some reason. Come out Wisconsin way, we'd love to have you. It's my adopted home state, as I mentioned this morning. I'm just happy about that. Be glad to show you the area where I live and bring you into the fellowship of the saints there where I work. If you're ever out our way, we'd love to have you. You'd be our welcome guest. Well, I said I'd keep it short, so let me just end it there. But thank you, I'll say once more, thank you very much for the fine, fine weekend it's been with you. Maybe we'll have opportunity to do it again sometime. The discourse is entitled, Get Your Faith Out of the Church Building. No, I don't mean to imply that it ought not to be in there. You know what I mean. Get it out of the faith on, get the faith out of the church building only, meaning the only place you seem to have it is there. Get your faith out of the church building. You know, there's actually some folks that need to get their faith in the church building because they seem to have it nowhere else but there, or I should say they have it, but they don't seem to see the necessity or the importance, the benefit, the God-given requirement that they assemble regularly with the saints. So I guess you could say they need to get their faith in the church building. But that's another lesson in another time. This discourse is meant to show how regularly those who gather in the house of God, those who gather in the assembly of the saints, need to have their faith and their religion be something that they practice outside these four walls. But how? How do we get our faith out of the church building? Well, I'm glad you asked. I want to share with you at least five ways, maybe six, ways that we need to get our faith out of the church building so that our faith in Jesus Christ not be something that's solely confined to these meeting places or this meeting place and these meeting times. And the first one is one that you probably would have guessed. If you were thinking a bit ahead, thinking, I know where he's going with this lesson, you're probably right. We need to get rid of hypocritical living, or hypocrisy, if you will. This is the one I'm sure most would think of. When we talk about getting our faith out of the church building, stop being hypocritical in the way you live your life. It's going to be something that I'd like to discuss with you a couple minutes at least before I get to what I primarily want to talk about. It's not the main part of my lesson this evening, but I'd like to spend at least a couple moments sharing my thoughts about it. Getting rid of hypocrisy. One of the first ways that we're going to be able, if we're to get the faith beyond these four walls, is to turn off the act. Turn off the act that others see in you when you're here with them at this place. Quit pretending in the church building. I'll try to be plain. Quit acting and pretending something in here that's not truly you out there. Should we bump into one another out there? Would there be any difference in you there than what I see in you here? There should not be. Whether that be at work, or at Walmart, or if we've got to pick up softball game somewhere, if we are together, should there be any difference? There should not be. What you see is what you get wherever you are. It's not just, I have a persona, I have an act that I put on when I walk through those doors. But then when I leave that place, I exit those doors, I go into other areas, I have another act. I have another persona. I have another life, if you will, that I live out there. That's got to quit. We must get our faith out of the church building and not just be in Jesus Christ influenced in the way we are here, but here only. It's got to be here and elsewhere out there. I know it's hard, but we need to practice what we preach. Oh, no, that's you, Whit. That's Jeff. You guys need to practice what you preach. Brethren, we are all proclaimers of the faith of Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be. Whether you're supported fully to do it or not, whether you stand up here in a pulpit and preach it or not, not the thing. All Christians ought to practice what they preach. Or, if you'd like to change it slightly, practice what they profess. I'm a Christian in here. You ought to be a Christian out there. And just as much so. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13. I know it's hard. I know maybe even that the Lord can sympathize. Having walked among us, He might amen that statement. You're right, Whit. There is a difficulty in that. The Lord's commandments, though, are not grievous. God's commands are not hard in one sense. But from the physical standpoint, looking at it, it might be said to be true. That for me to live consistently 24/7 a faithful Christian life is hard. All right, I'll go with it. I know sometimes it's difficult out there. We're a bit timid. We're a bit shy. We don't want to be seen as being somehow different in the world. No, that's just my teenage daughter. No, it's a 50-year-old man that has a difficulty at the job being seen as different than his co-workers. It's not just youngsters that have peer pressure problems. There's some 60-year-olds that have peer pressure problems. And they don't want to be seen as different in the world. So they do at the workplace what the workers do there. And at the church building, that would be inconsistent. That kind of hypocrisy we have to stop. God has given you, the Bible claims, God has given you and me, as Paul says to Timothy, a spirit of boldness and of a sound mind. So get out there and live the Christian life. That God has not brought us into His family for timidity, for fear, for shrinking back in dread, because I hope no one thinks I'm some sort of oddball, some sort of religious freak or something. Let them think what they will. Go out to them. Go out to the world, taking Christ with you, or going to Christ and embracing Him there. You may have thought I forgot. I didn't. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. That's why we have notes. It reminds me. Hebrews 13:11. For the bodies of those animals, the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Yeah, I know that. Therefore, Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to Him outside the camp, bearing His reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Go to Him outside the camp. Now, I know it's not just a reference, in fact, maybe not at all a reference to the idea of inside or outside a church building, inside or outside of the church even in a spiritual sense, but I like the idea that's the way it's worded here, that you go to Jesus bearing His reproach. Outside. It's not as hard to bear the reproach of Jesus inside, but it's harder to bear the reproach of Jesus outside. And what in the world are you talking about? What in the world are you talking about when you talk about bearing His reproach? What is that? Well, we need to be ready. We need to be ready to be weighed down with the negative, disapproving scorn that was heaped upon Jesus. Read it again as I'm talking about it. Go to Jesus bearing His reproach. And if in the world it seems to be, I'm scorned for being a Christian, I am somehow feel a weight on me trying to bear up under the worldliness living a Christian life among, I'm just like a flicker of light in an otherwise dark world out there. Then do it. Go out to Jesus bearing His reproach. That's what we're called upon to do. So we need to go out into the world living consistently what we're professing in here. But most of my lesson tonight has nothing to do with that. I mean, it has something to do with it, but that's not why. When I got this sermon together, it was really not about, let me talk about hypocrisy and how to get rid of it. No. That I just felt like I needed to incorporate into the lesson, because that's what most people would think. When you use a title like, Get Your Faith Out of the Church Building, people would think, oh, he's going to probably talk about how we ought not to be hypocritical in our life, and we ought to live outside what we live inside. And so, okay, so I'll spend a few minutes on it. Here's really, though, what I got the lesson for. This is what I got it together for. There are actually more things that I wanted to say about getting our faith out of the church building. I do not at all mean that it ought not to be in the building, as I said a moment ago, but not only in the building. And this is the thrust of my sermon this evening. All right, here we go. This is the heart of the lesson. It's item number two, really. How do I get my faith out of the church building? Through prayer. Prayer should be a 7-day-a-week activity, not just a church activity. Listen to these verses. And you can check if you wish. I'm going through them quickly, but you can check if you need to get some verification on this. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Here's another one. Colossians 4:2, continue steadfastly in prayer. Here's one more. Romans 12:12, be constant in prayer. Now, brethren, those are not suggestions. Those are orders from heaven. Be constant in prayer. Pray without ever stopping. And you ought to be steadfastly, constantly praying. 24/7 is our modern way of wording it. It's got to be something that we don't reserve or leave off or neglect or don't tend to except church time. Brethren, the church ought to be a place of prayer. I agree. I think of Jesus when he drove out the elements there that were unfavorable to the temple and said, this should be a house of prayer. Get out of here. This should be about prayer. And the Lord's temple, the church, ought to be a house of prayer as well. I understand that. We at Appleton a couple times a year just, you know, we pretty much have nothing much. Well, we have a few other things, but basically we call it a prayer meeting. That's what we call it. We don't have a sermon, and no one is upset about that seemingly. They're glad to have a break from the lesson, and we just have 8, 10, 12, 15 prayers during an hour. And we call it a prayer meeting. And that's fine. At least I think it's fine. We have no problem with it. Everybody seems to enjoy it. It's a proper use of an hour of our time. And so we get together, and that's fine. But we can't leave it there. We can't leave it to just 3 or 4 times a week that we have prayer. It is a privilege. It is a responsibility, too, that we pray. And that we pray often. Ideally, I'm going to suggest a number for you to get you going. 2 or 3 times a day. 2 or 3 times a day. Where'd you get that from? Did you just pull that out of your hat? Did you just pull that out of your head? You just come up with a number out of thin air? You just thought, no, the scriptures talk about the idea of praying morning, noon, and evening. Or 3 times a day I will pray. Daniel prayed 3. And there's examples of that. Do you have to pray 3? I said ideally. Let's get started in at least the right direction. I think if we made it once a day, we'd be making progress. Besides our prayers for meals now, and I don't mean to push that or relegate that or demote that to something of unimportance, but I'm going to assume you never eat your meals without giving thanks. I'm talking about in addition to that, let's go for 2 or 3 times a day. Would I be doing great if I could do once a day? Well, the lesson's for you then. The lesson is for you that we need to be praying, and that's a way of getting our faith out of the church building. Honestly now, God's witness listening to your thoughts at this moment, do you pray outside the assemblies? Do you pray, and I don't mean prayers for thanks at the meal. Do you pray outside church times? God heard what you were thinking. You need to be praying faithfully outside the assembly. Here are some suggestions if you feel that it would help. It's 2 cents worth is what it is. You could take it or leave it. But it's some ideas that if you feel, could you get me going in the right direction? Here's what I've got for you by way of suggestion. Make a schedule. If you think, I've got to work on this. I have got to pray. I must never go a day without prayer. Ideally, 2 or 3 times a day would be best. And if I'm going to get going in that direction, how am I going to do that? How am I going to get my faith out of the church building? How about making a schedule? Making a schedule for prayer. You might not like the idea. I said they're just suggestions worth 2 cents. You know what to do with my opinions if you don't like them, but that's what I'm giving to you as a suggestion. Make a schedule. It works for me. It may not work for you, but it works for me. It has a downside, by the way. I make schedule for prayer myself. That's just me talking. I just make schedule for prayer for me. But what happens is sometimes my schedule gets disrupted. And there goes my prayer. Now that's the downside. And so take it for what it's worth. Make a schedule. Another suggestion. Remember that prayer doesn't have to be long. Sometimes maybe we don't pray like we should because we picture it being at least a 5 or 10 minute activity. It doesn't have to be that long. You can pray short prayers of just a moment or two. Surely you've got that much time. Surely you can make that much time. Even a couple moments would be better than none at all. Prayer doesn't have to be long. We may picture prayers being where I offer up to God all that's on my mind. Well, that's good, but that doesn't have to be always the case. You can pray to God just for a specific thing or two, and I might only have a moment or two to pray. Hey, well, if you could do that, you might get that 2 or 3 prayers a day. If you talked and communicated with God in shorter measure, then maybe you might sometimes picture prayer being. Here's a third. Pray in your car. With your eyes open, of course. Tell me if you don't have your eyes open and you're coming towards me. But pray in the car. You've got, well, maybe not hours. Some may have hours in their car. That would be grand time for talking with God in prayer. Every day, I spend so many times on this highway out here, driving in, driving out, and so forth. Have you thought about using some of that time for something other than listening to the radio? pray to God with your eyes open, of course, but pray to God in your car. Here's another one. Pray longer at mealtime. This is what I do. Jared will bear witness to this occasionally. It can be a little pressing on kids' patience if you do this a lot. But I will see, here's an opportunity to get some praying in, because we're already praying to God and thanks for the meal. And they probably are thinking, come on, come on, come on. But anyway, Dad's the head of the house, and so we're going to pray a little longer than just quickly, thanks for the food, let's dig in. And I may pray, I don't know, I don't watch my watch, but it might be 2, 3, 4 minutes at the table. Mom may not like it that the food's getting cold. But nonetheless, praying at mealtime longer than we might otherwise. Here's another one. I got lots of them. Pray with your spouse and children. See it as a fatherly, I'm looking at it from a dad's perspective, as a fatherly thing to do. I want to pray with my wife and children. I'm going to take them to over here to go to McDonald's or to go to Chuck E. Cheese's, and I'm going to take them to a baseball game, and I'm going to take them to the museum, I'm going to take them to the zoo. I'm going to pray with them. Make that your list of things I want to do with my family. I want to pray with my wife and children. Here's another one. Get up a few minutes earlier than you normally do. I know you hate that, but how much is prayer important to you? Get up earlier. I usually get up at 5:30, 5:15 then. I usually get up at 6, get up at 5:45 then. Why? To pray, just to pray. Doesn't that sound like Jesus? Getting up before daybreak and going to a secluded place to pray? You're right, you have read your Bible. You're imitating the Lord, getting up to pray. He didn't get up because he was an insomniac. He didn't get up to pray because he couldn't sleep. He got up to pray. And we might want to just have to do something along those same lines, imitating our Lord, getting up a little earlier. Why? Well, when this day starts at 6 o'clock, I'm not going to have hardly any time for prayer, but it's so important, I'll set the clock 15 minutes earlier for that purpose of prayer. That's getting our faith out of the church building by prayer. Number 3. We should get our faith out of the church building by singing outside the church building. I'm not at all certain that all of those singing passages, and I think someone said there's 9 of them, but I'm not at all certain that all of those singing passages in the New Testament, such as Ephesians 5:19 and Colossians 3:16, exclusively apply to congregational singing. I'm not convinced that that's the limitation of it, the extent of it. In fact, I am sure that some of them do not. Well, what am I saying? What I'm saying is this, that when God says in James chapter 5:13, is anyone merry? Yes, I am so happy. Then sing! I don't see anything that makes that a church order. It's just, I'm happy, sing songs. Are you merry? Yes, sir. Sing songs. But I'm not at church. Get your faith out of the church building. Don't relegate these things like prayer and now singing to just church functions. They're church things that I do. I think singing, I think church. No! I think singing, I think what I do all the day or throughout the day. Maybe not all the day, but throughout the day. In Acts chapter 16, verse 25, I'm convinced that singing of God's design is not to be limited and meant to be church only. I know the word a cappella means like chapel. And there's a sense in which vocal music in the Latin even mentions it being like church. But let's not leave it there. Acts 16:25 says that Paul and Silas were singing at midnight in prison. Not in church. They're singing. And you might say, I bet you they were singing real quietly. They were singing and the prisoners were listening. They were singing at least loud enough that fellow prisoners were listening at midnight in prison, no church building, not even a church assembly time anyway, most likely. Although Paul did preach to midnight on one occasion. Brethren, be honest. We've got to rethink this notion that singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs is a congregational exercise only. I love to sing, and it probably shows. I sing so loud and vigorously. I just love it. And it's one of my passions. It's one of the things I do. But I know one thing. It's not only in church services that I do. Your singings that you have here, if you do, I don't know that you do, but if you have singings at other places and times, good for you. Good for you that you have singings. Let's start singing in the shower. Let's start singing in the car. Let's start singing anywhere that you can sing any other type of song that you sometimes sing. I have promoted at Appleton listening to spiritual songs on CD, and I still will and do. But we've got to be doing good along the lines of getting our singing outside of the church building, not just through listening to them, but singing them. Sing with your family. Have the kids and the wife come together for singing. Sing with other church members at your home. We're going to have a potluck after we sing. You don't want to sing after the eating. That's a little much. But we'll have singing, and then we're going to eat afterwards. You don't even have to have a book. If they're members that you've been with for a while, they're familiar at least with the first verses of a lot of songs. But if you have to have a book, do you have old books laying around that are not used anymore? A lot of churches do. They're old they're in the box in the closet. Nobody's used them in ages. They're sitting there. Borrow them. Use some of the old ones we don't use anymore if you feel like you have to have a book. Hey, here's one. You got access to the internet? Go to Cyber Hymnal Lyrics and just print off some lyrics. You know the tune, so you don't have to have the music. Just print off a few pages of 5 or 10 songs that we're going to sing at my house when we get together. But you can do it. You can do it. Some of you have money. Go buy some songbooks. But let not our singing, praises to God, and the teaching of ourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs be limited to the church assemblies. Get that part of your faith out of the church building into your everyday life. All right, next, we move on to number 4. Preaching. Preaching. This is another way we get our faith out of the church building. Not me. I'm no preacher. Oh, yes, you are, if you're a Christian. You're supposed to be. You're supposed to be. And all Christians need to go forth from the auditorium sowing the seed. You want the church to grow? Everybody does. Who doesn't want the church to grow? Everyone wishes that the church would get larger and bigger, expand the building and all of that. That's great. It's a natural thing. Everybody wants that to happen. Then go out sowing the seed. Go forth from this place, take the faith out of the building, preaching the Word of God where you go. Scattering the seed, if you will, everywhere. Don't be a narrowcaster, be a broadcaster of the Word of God. Spreading it here and there to see where it may fall. The Word of God. Of course the Word is to be preached within these four walls. Of course. That goes without saying. But we need to do more. How? How? Well, offer to study with folks that you encounter. It might surprise you what they might say in response. Just with that very plain offer. Would you like to study the Bible with me? Or it could be that you invite them to the assemblies. It might surprise you who might say they will come. Would you like, where do you go to church? Oh, I go here. Well, my church meets, would you like to come with? You know, there's ways that you can broach the subject, you can break the ice, you can give a gentle nudge in a direction you'd like them to go. But talk to them. Talk to them maybe casually, even about religious subjects or moral issues. But whatever, take preaching of the Word and take your religion and the teaching of Scriptures outside the building. Acts 8 verse 4 says that the brethren there were scattered due to persecution and they went everywhere preaching. Everywhere. As far as I know, there was not one single church building
There probably wasn't even one in Jerusalem. In fact, it seems they met in Solomon's porch and so forth. So there were not. They didn't have to get the church out of the church building because there were no church buildings. It was get the church preaching wherever they go, wherever they go. In the marketplace? Sure. When you're making tents? Sure. When you're recreating? Sure. Wherever you are, you're taking the Word of God with you as an opportunity to teach others. What if I'm shy? Well, I'm glad you asked about your peculiar need of shyness. I say it's peculiar, it's not that peculiar. A lot of us are shy about these things, really, when you think about it. But if you're a bit shy of doing those things, there's still things that you can do to get the Word out, to preach the Word, to make it that I'm spreading, you know, sowing, scattering the seed of God outside these four walls. There's still things you can do that are less direct, more indirect, if you will, ways through God's providence that you might be helpful in finding seekers out there, bringing them in contact with the preached Word. I have a long list here. Would you indulge me? I won't comment. Write letters, postcards, emails to people. Keep a supply of tracts available for leaving in restrooms and public places or to give to acquaintances, etc. Have flyers printed for posting on bulletin boards, at laundromats and grocery stores, for placing on windshields of cars at the mall parking lot, or just for mailing out. Rent a billboard. It's not as expensive. I said I wouldn't comment. It's not as expensive as you think. That's the only comment I can give on that. Rent a billboard on the highway. Leave calling cards under tips at restaurants. I got to give a comment. That's long as you give a reasonable tip. You might not want to otherwise. I had to stick that in. Leave calling cards under tips at restaurants. Include them with your utility bills, all right? But distribute them liberally. They only cost pennies. It would be pennies well spent. Run a classified ad in the newspaper. It reads like this. Wanted. That'll grab them. Wanted. Someone to study the Bible. Call 926-1733. That's all you put in the ad. Wanted. Someone to study the Bible. Call 926. No, you put your number there. Call your number. Or here's another one. A classified ad. It only costs a few bucks. Home Bible study group needs new people. Non-denominational. Call. If you're into computers, go to electronic bulletin boards, forums, blogs, chat rooms, etc. Some are even into YouTube and MySpace and such like. Use it for the preaching of the gospel. Give audio and video cassettes or DVDs of lessons to people. Or lend them if you do not wish to give them away. Or have people come to your home to watch them. Give religious books or Bibles as gifts to non-Christians for whatever, you know, birthday, anniversaries, graduation, whatever. Read your Bible and pray in public, not to be seen of men, but due to you imitating Christ and the early Christians. Send letters to newspaper editors and watch for letters on editorial pages by others that you can personally follow up on. There's no excuse, people, that we can't preach the Word of God through one means or another. Making opportunities through these methods, indirect that they are, that God's providence might bring this seeker in contact with this proclaimer of the gospel, that they might have a hope of salvation. Whatever method you employ, get your faith in preaching out of the building only. You might say, but aren't all those things the things the church paid for? Every single one of them you don't need the church to pay for. You can pay for all of them yourself. Some of them don't even cost anything, really. But if they do cost something based on your ability financially, don't even wait for a business meeting. Go do it yourself. I'm going to pay for my own billboard. I'm going to pay for my own, you know, newspaper ad. I'm going to pay. Fine. The church can do some of those things. It's not limited to that. We often think that way. We don't think that's church things to do. No, that's your things to do. You can do all those things, just limited by your ability financially. Those things are things that you can do. All right, one more and we will be through. Number 5, I believe it is. We need to get our faith out of the church building by studying the Word of God. We should read some scriptures every day. Every day. At least every day read some scripture. The Bereans searched the scriptures every once in a while to see if things that were preached were so. You know the Bible doesn't read that way. In Acts 17:11 it says they searched the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. That was noble. That was commendable. These were more fair-minded than those folks back up the road. They searched the scriptures daily. And so might you be, if you will. Get a Bible that you can easily read. If you like the King James and the American Standard and you wish to stay with it because I've done so for 20, 30, 40 years, go ahead. But for a lot of people, I urge them, get one that's a little bit more into the English that you're familiar with, that can be more easily read. I recommend the New American Standard Version, the New King James. That's the one I use most frequently. The English Standard Version, I believe, is another good one. But get yourself a Bible that you can read well. Get study workbooks. There are probably some around here. They're the Bible study books that you normally think of in Sunday school classes. Get them for your own personal use. You can order them. Ask maybe some brethren, if you're not, where do you order such books that we use in our Sunday and Wednesday classes? Well, there, someone will tell you where, and you can get those for your daily use. Or print them up. I'm sure Jeff does. I know I do. We have access to just hundreds and thousands of printouts, lesson sheets, questions, if you will, on every book of the Bible just about, if that would be helpful to you. I'm not saying you have to have that. But study the Bible outside Sunday and Wednesday. Study the scriptures outside the church building. Use me. Well, I'm not here. So use Jeff or use someone here that might be helpful to you. I have a number of studies with members of the church outside the assemblies in the Appleton area. And I'm sure Jeff would be glad to do the same. In other words, if you feel, you know, it would help me if somebody would help, you know, guide me through some Bible. Okay, fine, do that. But whatever. Get your faith out of the church building through studying the Word of God outside the church services. Make a schedule for it. Make an appointment with your Bible, so to speak. Make an appointment with your Bible. Others have done so. You need to do so. I want to encourage you. However you go about it, read the Bible during the week. Get your faith in studying the Bible out of the church building alone. Brethren, I recommend all of these to you. In conclusion, let me conclude by urging us to accomplish what God intended much of what assembling was meant to accomplish for the saints, namely to equip them, the saints, for going out into the world each and every day, living their faith at home, at work, and during hours of leisure. Let me repeat that, not exactly in the same words. What was the main purpose? What was a primary purpose for having us assemble in the first place? I'm a Christian before I'm a member of a congregation. Why can't I just be a Christian at large? Why do I need to go to the church services for anyway? There's more than one answer, but one of them is, and I just mentioned it, to equip you for the work of ministering, to equip you to go out into the world, out there at work, at home, at leisure, living the life of a Christian before the world, preaching to them, and so forth, ministering to them, serving them in for the sake of Christ out there in the world, to proclaim Christ, to show forth His praises, to live Christ, and yes, if need be, to suffer for Christ out there in that wicked world in which we live. If we leave our faith, listen to me, if we leave our faith in the church building, it's like purchasing a car and leaving it at the gas station. That's not why you bought a car. You have to go to the gas station frequently to keep yourself going in your car, but that's not why I purchased it. I didn't buy a car to go to the filling station, and I sure am not going to leave it there. I have to go there often to keep me going down the road, and we even use terminology like that. When we go to the church services, we need to get we need to get our tank filled up, or we need to get our batteries recharged, and maybe even the windshield wiped, or whatever, the oil checked. We use those kind of analogies to describe what spiritually ought to be taking place. You assemble in the congregation to help get you back on the road, studying, praying, singing, preaching. By all means, not being hypocritical. That was something I just sort of addressed at the beginning to make sure it got some attention. But these other ways, primarily, is what I'm trying to promote. These were things that the assemblies were to equip you to go forth to do. And if we leave it here, it's like we bought a car and just parked it at the gas station. That's not why it ought to, or that's not what it's all about. That's not why we are Christians. May God help us to do just that.